Hey everyone, you're listening to Chiclet and Libations. We're your hosts, Amanda
and Tony,
and we're bringing you all the best and spicy books that we love to read. This week we are going to be chatting about The Deal, starring Hannah Wells and Garrett Graham. Thanks for joining us today. Let's puck it.
Every episode, we'll pair a book and a drink. For The Deal, we created Puck Bunny, which contains Malibu Black, pineapple juice, Sprite, and garnished with pineapple. You can find this recipe on our Instagram page at Chiclet and Libations. Cheers!
Cheers! For those of you who haven't read this book yet, be aware that we will be discussing the book in detail, so this is your official spoiler alert. Also, trigger warning, this book does contain recounts of sexual assault. This novel follows Hannah, a music major at Briar College, and Garrett, the captain of the school hockey team. They strike up a deal in which she is trying to impress a football player, and he needs a tutor to pass his ethics class. But falling in love with each other wasn't part of the deal.
It wasn't?
It was not.
I mean, it's a rom-com, right? You kind of already expect there to be fireworks.
There's definitely fireworks. But that's many pages down the road.
I think they struck up a good deal for our benefit.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Elle Kennedy did the story very well.
I agree.
Yeah.
I thought she really gave the characters like something to root for, something for the readers to root for in the characters. Like you want their romance to flourish because they're just so cute together.
I know, from like page one.
Yeah.
You know, or like day one of their romance, just down to like Garrett's pet nicknames for her.
Yeah.
Wellsie.
I love that.
He always calls her Wellsie and like rarely ever called her Hannah.
Yeah.
but I loved that so much because when he did call her Hannah, it was so much more like it made it that much more endearing.
Well, and nobody had ever called her that before. So it was like a new nickname, but it was one he coined and then everybody else started calling her that.
Yep.
So that's right. Everybody jumped on the bandwagon.
His teammates started calling her Wellsie, and it's just like kept it up throughout the entire book. Like,
right.
From start to finish. So.
Yeah, but she never gave him a nickname.
She didn't.
And I personally think that, you know, if Elle Kennedy were to give him a nickname and at some point rewrite a little bit of this book, if I will, I feel like G-Spot maybe would be a good nickname. Could you just see his roommates calling him like his teammates? G-Spot.
Yo, what up, G-Spot?
I mean, sounds like he knows what he's doing, so.
Oh, and he boasted about that.
It would be fitting.
A lot, too. So, honestly, way better than like G-Money, G-Dog.
Or G-Squared for Garrett Graham.
G-Squared.
No, I agree. I mean, sure, there are thousands of nicknames you could come up. You could call him Grammy.
Grammy.
Doesn't have the
same. So not it's as so good. G-Spot.
It's no G-Spot. It's I think that's what it's got to be.
I mean, I think that she really missed something there.
She did. I feel like she needs to capitalize on that. But you know what? This is the first book of a series. Maybe it at is, some point later on in the series, he gains a nickname. I believe that he is a recurring character, even if not the main character in the follow-on stories. So,
oh yes,
maybe something comes up at one point and they call him that.
And then it would be like the author's in your head and you honestly could have written this book, right?
I mean, look, like I like to act like I'm a really good writer. I have a hard time speaking sometimes. So it would be really interesting for me to put pen to paper in that kind of a way. But, no, I mean, she could have just passed this book by me and I'd been like, hey, you're missing an opportunity.
So when you say have a hard time speaking sometimes, do you mean like physically getting the words out or like speaking in front of people?
Oh, no, I'm the worst at speaking in front of people. Like the worst.
Because same.
Like I had to do that for a part-time job of mine and I would go up in like 60-second increments, and I would clam up, and it was awful.
What job was this?
It was a church job.
Okay.
I don't want to go into too much detail.
No, fine. I just wanted to know the title.
Like, I would literally just be like, hey, everybody, there's more food. Go get seconds. And I would be like, I can't eat before I spoke in public because I'd be afraid it would come. Anyways, it's a whole thing. It's not at all the sexy vibe of this book, but
sorry, sidetracked there with the whole public speaking. Because I was always the same way. Like in school, whenever I would have to give a presentation, oh my gosh, the world was ending. I couldn't like regulate my breathing and talking at the same time. So it'd be like,
exactly. Well, even like on this podcast, I know we're not speaking to like a live audience. There's nobody else sitting here with us besides me and you. But it's still a bit nerve-wracking. Yeah. So this is the closest I'll probably get to public speaking in my life if I can choose it. But it's basically like when I talk to somebody, I'm just really easy to stumble over my words. So kind of on everything. I'm just not a great speaker, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, everyone has their niches and public speaking is just not yours and it's not mine either.
But speaking in general. So I'm a little surprised we're doing this podcast and making it through.
Great accomplishment for you, though.
I know. I deserve a drink for accomplishing this.
Cheers to
that. Heck yes.
By the way, the drink that we made tonight.
Oh, it's addictive.
Delicious.
It's so good.
It's a little dangerously good.
I definitely love Malibu Black over Malibu personally. Like just Malibu. But I feel like that makes that extra amount go really well.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was like one of your favorite parts of this book?
Okay. You're going to ask me to jump straight to the end because this happened in the book and I'm going to read it because I was dying laughing reading this excerpt.
I can't wait to hear.
So let me set up the scene where Hannah is mad about something she found out that Garrett did. Mm-hmm. So she goes to find him. And where else does she find the captain of the hockey team but in the locker room? Mm-hmm. So somebody warns her not to go in there, but she's hot on, she's just,
she's pissed.
She's ready to rip him one.
Pissed.
So she shoves into the locker room and she goes, I burst into the locker room and penises, sweet Jesus, penises everywhere. Horror slams into me as I register what I'm seeing. Oh God, I've stumbled onto a penis convention. Big penises and small penises and fat penises and penis-shaped penises. It doesn't matter which direction I move my head because everywhere I look, I see penises. And I'm like, I'm laughing so hard at this scene because I can so visualize this.
Like, the whole hockey team is in there.
Yes. And these are like big burly men. And then all of a sudden, all she sees are it's like a sea of penises. She doesn't even realize, who they belong to. Because I think at one point, one of the guys walks up to her and she's like, hey, penis. Dean.
What's your name? Right. All I can see is your dick.
She's literally
in front of me.
Just into this whole penis. It was hilarious. I was dying.
How many times can you say the word penis in one sentence?
She might have like the record
for sure.
Within half a page of text. She said it 85 times. But I just thought it was hilarious. Like, she had me rolling and I really appreciated that even though she hit on some heavy backstory for the characters in this book, she also handled like humor and lightheartedness. And I just love how she did that, how she captured all of that, like, because that's truly the human condition, right? You're going to have joy. You're going to have sorrow. You're going to have anger.
Pain. And you're going to have things that just you'll never really understand. And I agree with you. I think that she really did kind of intertwine all of those different themes that, any regular person goes through. I agree. I think that she did a really good job with that throughout the whole book because, like we mentioned at the beginning of this episode, there are some recounts of sexual assault.
Yeah.
Because Hannah went through that when she was younger.
Yeah.
She was essentially roofied.
Yep.
And, you know, so that kind of sets
She was like 15.
Yeah, she was super young. Yeah, like high school.
And everything surrounding that whole thing was just straight shit, right? Yeah. Like, it was a guy who his parents were somebody's in this small town. Like, mom's the mayor, dad's the town pastor or something like that. And so nobody believes them, but they also have all this money and all of this mm-hmm. weight to throw behind getting a lawyer and lawsuits happening when she starts telling him, like, when, well, she didn't even want to tell her parents, I don't think, but her mom knew something was wrong and took her to get a date rape kit done yep. right away. Yeah. Like, go mom for knowing your child so yeah. well that you could read that on her.
And I feel like moms know.
They know.
Moms always know these things. For the most part, I guess it does depend on the mom.
It does depend on the
mom. But I think it, you know, I would hope that it kind of goes hand in hand with that motherly instinct.
Yeah.
To know that something is really off. Something is really wrong with your child.
Yeah.
So that kind of sets the premise of what Hannah kind of goes through and what she overcomes throughout yeah. this book. And then Garrett. G-spot.
And you just like oh, ache G-spot. For him too. It's hard to say, oh, G-spot. Well, you should be like,
oh. Lovingly.
Oh, yeah. Like, he didn't have an easy growing up either.
Oh, no, not by a long shot. Abusive.
Abusive.
Terribly abusive father.
Lost his mom at an early age.
His mom died, and they both had a lot of pain, but that's what made their relationship so much more beautiful, is because they kind of learned and healed and grew through their
shared pain. Yeah. yeah.
Shared pain.
Different pains, but you were still able to find healing and find hope in somebody else that,
yeah,
you know, like you had a shit past, I had a shit past, but that doesn't mean that that's our future. Like,
that's right.
Let's take this and go forward without bringing all of that toxicity into
it. Yeah. Always looking forward, not looking back.
Yeah.
That's how he ends the book.
But I do love that her parents just stood by her. Like, they paid for her to have lawyers, like, yes. to the point it literally bankrupted them. Like, they are in the poorhouse because they weren't going to stand by and just let something happen without, you know, repercussions. Right. And then with Garrett, his dad, who was a professional hockey player and so admired by so many people because of his fame,
yep.
was able to get by with literally beating his wife and his son at home. Yeah. Like, his
breaking
young son.
His nose. Yeah. Like, yeah. just the times that Garrett would recount, like, how abusive his dad was, and just, like, he didn't want to go up into his childhood bedroom because he felt like the walls were literally going to close in on him. Like, oh, it was just,
yeah.
that was tough.
So, but she was able to write about something like that so deep, and then at the same time be writing this, like, penis excerpt.
Right. Like, right. Talk about,
way, like, to go, Elle Kennedy.
Like, wide range of writing skills.
That's right.
Like, very, very impressed.
Yeah.
And this was my first Elle Kennedy book, and
mine too.
It was yours too, mm-hmm. right? I'm so glad that I finally read one of her books.
Well, and what's really funny is when we talked about this book, I absolutely was going to go and buy it. And then I was looking through my Kindle and found that I already owned it on Kindle,
really?
which means at some point I got it for free because yeah. I usually don't buy Kindle books.
Okay.
So I was like, how did I get this book on my Kindle for free? So that's lucky funny. Me that I didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
But also, how did I not know I had this book on Kindle.
So,
so now I'm going to be paying a little bit more attention to what I've downloaded. I'm kind
of. You should get Kindle Unlimited because there's so many,
yeah,
like, books available, like Megan Quinn, like tons of Megan Quinn yeah. books and stuff like that.
I'm considering getting it.
I think it's worth it personally.
But I have, like, this habit of collecting books more than I have of reading it. So I couldn't even tell you how many books I actually have on my Kindle, because sometimes I get deals that are like, these books are $0 right now. And I'll just go, like, download them. I'm like, awesome. I have 850,000 books on my Kindle. I don't know. I'm probably exaggerating. I'm not probably. I am exaggerating. I don't have
that. How does your Kindle have that much space?
Well, it only downloads as you select it. So not as you load it. Like, you can send it to your Kindle, but not until you download it does it actually take up space.
Okay.
So, but lucky me for getting this for free. I don't even know how many years ago.
Right.
But it just goes to show, she's got how many books since I mean, in this series alone, there's five.
Five, yeah. So there's like four standalone, right? About four different couples, yeah, essentially. And then you said the fifth one.
Yeah, the last one looks to be kind of a, not a summary, but like a recap in like a way of all of the couples that are in her books come to the legacy and have like,
yeah,
new stories and stuff.
So the fifth one is called The Legacy. So we're doing the deal. Then it's The Mistake, The Score, The Goal, and then, like we said, The Legacy. So
yeah,
they're all about these different,
and I want to know what happens, right? Because mm-hmm. towards the end we find out, well, it's kind of splattered throughout the book, but
yeah,
it's in such little nuggets throughout the book that you don't really get the extent of it until the very, very end, when you find out that Garrett's literal best friend Logan is crushing mad on Hannah.
Yeah,
so he's got the next book. Yep. And so
he does. And it definitely like is hinted at a few different times in the book too. And at first I didn't really think anything of it. I was like, oh, she's just throwing that in there for, you know, side information or whatever. Maybe to like get you to think that something's going to happen, but it really won't. But then she really like ends the book.
Yeah.
Honing in on that.
Yeah. Every time she brought it up before, I was like, oh, this is another way of like jabbing at Garrett, right? To make him a little bit more jealous, to realize what he has in Hannah. Like, I always thought it was just kind of that, you know, guys just joshing with each other about their partners.
Yeah. Just razzing on each other, you know?
So wasn't really expecting anything, but then lo and behold, in like the second to last chapter, she's like, oh, he's got it bad. Like, he's got it bad for Hannah.
Yeah.
And that's the first time that we really understand just how bad it is. Mm-hmm. But you said there's an excerpt for the second book in the end of your physical copy.
Exactly. So yeah, because I have the actual book, and then of course you said you read it on the Kindle. So when you brought that up, I was like, oh yeah, there's actually the first two chapters of The Mistake in the back of my book. And so the first line from the first chapter is, lusting over your best friend's girlfriend sucks. And I was like, okay, yep,
that's how literally.
That book starts.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was just so, it was kind of out of left field because, again, I never got the opinion that it was such a big crush.
I know, me either. And I mean, he's a good character. Like, he's a
good guy.
He's a good guy. He's a good friend to Garrett and, you know, subsequently to Hannah as well. So,
I mean, he takes a punch from Garrett and doesn't like strike back.
And he's like, after the fact, when he finds out like who Garrett was hitting, and we'll get into this in a little bit. But he was like, when he figured it out, he was like, man, I'm sorry I even pulled you off of him.
Yeah.
You should have just let that.
Like, that's the good guy that Logan is.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see that he's going to get his own story because you obviously, like, you're like, at that point, you want him to be happy and find love too. Yeah. So you're rooting for him, but not for him with Hannah. So it's like Garrett and Hannah are supposed to be together. Can't you see this, Logan?
Listen,
he's Wellesley not reading the same book we are.
Are meant to be. Okay. Wellesley and G-Spot forever.
Oh no. I'm like, I seriously missed opportunity on a nickname
and
there.
It's really hard for us to choose a final name for our drink.
I know, we did. We talked about calling it Wellesley, which I also would have liked. But I don't, Puck Bunny just sounded so fun.
We just had to.
You'll find this out in the book if you haven't already read it, but Puck Bunnies are basically the girls, like groupies, mm-hmm. for hockey players who are just sleeping with them because they're hockey players, and probably all the rumors that go on about hockey players.
And that's like the first, what, sexual encounter in the book with Garrett
was with a Puck Bunny.
Puck Bunny that showed up at the hockey player's house after a game and like just wearing a trench coat, basically, like that classic, just wearing a trench coat and really nothing else.
Yeah.
And then, you know, his friends put her in his room and then she's waiting for him and everything. And so, yeah, there's some like intertwining of the Puck Bunnies, like recurrent throughout the book. But
well, and if you remember, there was actually a group chat in Icebreaker. That was our last book.
Puck Bunnies.
And they were, but it was the teammates were all called
totally
Puck Bunnies.
A different, like,
and they never actually explained it. I just didn't know it. I didn't know what it meant. I just assumed that, you know, it might've been groupies, but when he called his teammates Puck Bunnies, I was very confused. So I was like, I don't really understand that. Okay. So it was nice to get that explained in this one.
It's It's funny that we did not plan this either to do two hockey books back to back. And not just that, two hockey books where the hockey player was also the captain of the hockey team.
There's a lot of like
close to graduation
overlapping storyline from the one that we did last time in this one, from Icebreaker in this one.
There were, yeah, there was definitely a lot of similarities, but two very good standalone books.
Yeah.
I don't know, where do they get Puck Bunny? Like every time I hear that term, I just think of like, is it like going off of the term like fuck buddy? Like what?
I think so. I mean, fuck buddy, but then you get the puck. So they go, instead of fuck, it's pup.
Yeah.
And then instead of buddy, it's bunny. Because you don't want it to be puck buddy. That's puck buddy. That doesn't sound sexy. But puck bunny is like, I don't know, I'm thinking Playboy
bunny. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like totally. Yeah.
110% basketball.
Basketball, yeah.
Basketball. Come from a basketball family. Every single person in my immediate family played basketball at one point during their school career. And then now we're watching anyways, I digress. But yes, basketball, 110% is my favorite game, my favorite sport to watch.
Would you say that's also your favorite sports romance book to follow?
That's a tough
one. If you had to.
Because like, what we've done, hockey and baseball.
Hockey and baseball.
At least on this podcast.
Yeah, hockey times two.
We're going to be taking a break.
Yeah, I mean, why are we picking all these sports books when we're kind of like not sporty girls?
Like, I mean, hey, speak for yourself. No.
Look, I love to play sports. I'm not good at any of them, but I love to do it. Like, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. It just kind of lined up that way. And we have a couple more. I think we have a football one like down the line. But that's hard for me to answer because I don't think I've really read many other like sports romances. What about you?
Okay, so in real life, I'm a sucker for baseball. Like there's something about like the freaking thighs and the
baseball ass, you know.
Like if you can put me behind third base and like literally I'm just staring at him in ready position, I'm a happy girl.
You're also in ready position, if you know what
basically.
I mean.
But I don't know. I also kind of grew up on basketball, so I do love and I'm a sucker for tall guys. Like,
oh my gosh,
I think it's because I'm so short. I really something weird about that. I don't know.
No, that's exactly how I am too.
Yeah,
I get it.
But they like it's exciting to see guys that are so tall. So I don't know. And when it comes to like books, when it's reading about a sport, football is literally the last.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed hockey, but I don't really feel like we're getting a whole lot of the sport on these pages. Like we're not, you know, like it's a part of the backstory, but we're not really getting. So
right.
If it comes to actually just reading about somebody in a sport, I don't know. It's hard to say. I may just say baseball again.
Yeah. I think I will have to go with basketball, even though I really haven't read many basketball romances. But just like the nature of it, like you said, I'm exactly the same way. I'm also short. Not quite as short as you.
Hey.
A lot of love.
You know, the air is really nice down here. We've got all sorts of great stuff.
I'm just going to let that slide.
Look, I can walk next to my dog and I don't even have to bend over to pet him. Okay. Like I literally, he's right there because I'm short enough and he's tall enough. Maybe
Hashtag short girl perks, not problems.
Amen.
Perks.
Amen. Short girl perks. I like it. I'm with you. Perks.
We kind of sidetracked there.
I'm sorry. I did.
Oh yeah. Sports romances.
Yeah.
Oh yes. Yeah, so I'm also short.
Yes.
But always been a sucker for tall guys.
Yeah.
Always. And so, basketball is right up my alley. And basketball is just so fast-paced and fun to watch.
Do you mean basketball is right up your court?
Yeah, that's...
Ooh. That's, burn! I'm just kidding.
You just schooled me on that joke. Yes, basketball is right up my court when we're talking about... When we're talking about, oh no, a bug is invading the studio space. Where did that bug come from?
I don't know. He's bugging me though. The jokes don't get any better, ladies and gentlemen.
In fact, they get a little worse.
They do.
As the evening goes on.
Like, I'm totally calling myself out here.
Please do.
I sent Amanda a text message. where I was trying to convey, I needed my memory to be, I needed my memory to be refreshed. So I thought I said, refresh my memory. We need this, 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 and this. She just went along with it. She messaged me back and she's like, yes, that's what we need. And I was like, cool. And today I'm scrolling back through our text and I'm looking for this information that was in that message. And I realized that I did not say refresh my memory. I said refrigerator my memory. And you didn't even call me out on it. I was like, I said refrigerator. And so I'm like, Amanda, how did you not call me out on this? How did you not say refrigerator my memory?
Okay. The reason I did it is because I honest to God, I didn't even bat an eye. When that text came through, I read it and I'm like, oh, refrigerator my memory. Oh, nice. She's doing a pun on, you know, refresh my memory. You put food in the refrigerator to refresh it. And so I honestly thought you were just making one of your puns again.
This is how bad my jokes are, that you just assumed that refrigerator my memory was intentional. That's how bad they are.
And then it just made it twice as funny when you texted me earlier today and we're like, in all caps. Let that slide. I said refrigerator my memory, not refresh.
Oh, I know. I was dying when I read that. I was like, how did you just not even call me out on that? And then when you explained it, I was like, wow, my jokes are that lame that you literally
take it as lame. It's just like the theme of your jokes.
The theme of my bad jokes. My bad jokes. It's okay. You can. I can take it. I can. My brother tells me I'm not funny at all. Like, by the way.
Well, I would never say that to you.
I tell him a joke and he's like, "That's cute. But hey, it's not funny."
That's what siblings are for, though.
It is, right? Damn siblings.
Right? Oh, let's not get into that topic again.
So there was a scene that I really loved when Hannah was going to go home after their, Breaking Bad binge-a-thon.
Yes.
And she was going to leave at like 3 a.m. And he was like, no, I'm not letting you call a cab at 3 a.m. Like, right. I will just get up and drive you.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, but it was just the thing about like his being protective of her, especially knowing
from the get-go.
At that point, he didn't know about her past, how she had been raped. Mm-hmm. So it was really, I thought, really sweet of him to be so protective of her in that way. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't even like, you know, if you want to go, I'll drive you. But she ended up crashing there, which is totally awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, they weren't going to do anything. They didn't technically do anything, even though somewhere in the middle of the night, she turned around and curled up around him.
Right. Woke up with her draped over him.
Draped. Like her innocently, legs locked over his.
But draped nonetheless.
Probably breathing in his chest hair. Yeah.
Then what? He woke up with a little
bing. Yeah. Morning wood. And she was surprised.
Like, ugh, how could you? And he's like, yeah. It happens all the time.
It's a normal dudes. It's a normal function of being a guy.
No, I really like that you brought that up because I felt the same thing. And it was like right from the get-go, he just had this like protective instinct for her, which I think speaks volumes to their eventual relationship and how they were really just perfect for each other.
Yeah. Well, and even too, like, he just always was looking out for her. Even when he you know, invited her out and was like, I just want you to come and have a great night.
Drinking thing.
Yeah. And so he kind of became her personal bodyguard so that she could have fun and let loose. And he was like, I won't bring you any drinks anybody else is making.
Watches the bartender like a hawk.
I mean, she goes to the bathroom. He stands outside the door for her. Like, all the things that she needed to be safe. And he was just there for her in all of those ways.
Yep.
And he didn't ask anything from her in return.
He didn't belittle that either.
No.
He didn't, like, I guess belittle is the right word. But he didn't minimize that
right.
at all. Like, he took it very seriously. And it was nice that she, you know, we finally did get a scene where she finally did let loose. Maybe a little too much.
Well, because then she ran into her ex-boyfriend and things spiraled. But she kind of had control on it, about it up till then.
Up until then, yes. I would say she was pretty much primarily in control. Mm-hmm. But then that kind of just tipped the scale and then it went all downhill from there.
Yeah.
But again, he watched out for her, even when she was completely shit-faced.
He was such a good guy for her.
He was. So he was a great guy for her. I told you this is what was going to happen. Okay, moving on. I just remember a really great quote. You collect yourself while I
skate
on into one of my favorite
just puck
books.
It. Just do it.
Just puck it up, okay?
Oh, sweet buckets.
What's a sweet bucket?
I don't know. I think it's located to the G spot.
Okay, so. Okay, so this quote, it's from Garrett's perspective. It's when she's completely wasted. So this is when Hannah finally let loose, like we were talking about just a few minutes ago. And it's from, like I said, from Garrett's point of view. And he goes, Hannah hadn't been moving suggestively when she belted out Lady Gaga earlier, but she sure as shit is moving suggestively now. She's gone from Disney Channel Miley Cyrus to full-on twerk mode Miley, and it's officially time for me to put a stop to it before she moves straight to let's make a sex tape Miley. Wait, has Miley ever made a sex tape? Fuck, who am I kidding? Of course she has.
I loved that.
Me too. Like, just pulling in the, like, the very relevant, like, pop culture. Like, I don't
like,
know.
Like, is there anybody out there actually questioning if she's made a sex tape before?
If there are, I'd like to meet those people, because one look at Wrecking Ball.
I mean, that thing is all suggestive. That is basically one leotard away from a sex tape.
A huge ball.
That's right. She's banging it all around.
Yeah. So that's one of my favorite, like, funny quotes. I mean, I have plenty of, like, oh, that's deep kind of quote, but that's one of my favorite funny quotes. So what were some of your favorites?
Well, so one of the things that maybe necessarily wasn't a quote, but it's when they're like, when he's trying to make her feel comfortable with him, and mm-hmm. she has now approached him about having sex with her because she has never had an orgasm since she was assaulted and
with a guy.
And she doesn't tell Garrett that at this point, right? He doesn't know that at this point.
Yeah. That doesn't come out until like halfway through the book, right?
I think it's maybe a little further than halfway if I had to, it's hard for me to say when I was like, you know, in an ebook, cause you know, when I have a physical book, I'm a little bit better about telling about where it is. So he's trying to make her comfortable. She has approached him for sex saying, I think I'm bad at it. Right. And I can't. And so he was like,
nervous about it. The whole thing.
Very nervous. And so he's like, I want her to trust me. So how about this? Instead of us trying to mess around and me trying to make something happen for you, because he starts, they tried and she like tensed up. Right. Mm-hmm. I think she tensed up and he was like, what's wrong? And so, he comes up with the idea like, well, instead of just stopping this altogether, because there's a roadblock here for you, what if we try something different? And like, I'll watch you make yourself come and I will make myself come without like laying hands on each other. So they're literally just like co-masturbating at this point. And like, it's hot.
Yeah.
You know, you don't always think that maybe your partner like masturbating in front of you is like a sexy thing, but they make
certainly
it.
Made it.
I mean, he collapsed. he was like, holy shit, what's happening? And here I go. And now I'm on the floor.
Yeah.
Right. Like he could not even keep himself standing upright. Right.
Standing. That is.
I mean, he was upright.
Definitely was upright in other ways.
It's not standing upright. So, So like he fell over and like had to grip the end of the table or something like that just to keep himself from literally falling on the floor. But I just thought that was really like sweet, but also like incredibly sexy. Yeah, like so hot. She succeeded and she was like, I was able to trust you enough that I was able to come in your presence.
She was so excited and happy. And like, I thought that was great. And then they didn't just, and then again, I mean, there are so many things that I like about Garrett, but once they had that accomplishment, kind of got over that big roadblock, she just kind of wanted to be like, okay, let's go. Yeah. And he's like, nope.
And he was so good with her about that because it's, even though he didn't know her history, it was really what she needed.
Yes.
She needed to be eased into that. Yeah. And he was very delicate with her about that.
She didn't really necessarily even know that about herself.
Right.
He saw her, like, saw through that and was like, no, let's just kind of like take it one step at a time.
And when we say that she wasn't able to orgasm, like, she was able to make it happen for herself. She was never able to make it happen with a partner, even though she'd had boyfriends who had tried.
She had a boyfriend before Garrett. She was with a guy for like a year.
Yeah.
Or two.
I want to say Devin was his name. Devin.
Yeah. And he kind of like,
and he tried, she said for like 8 months, the guy tried and couldn't. But, she met Garrett and Garrett was like, okay, well, instead of it being about me, let's just break down the barrier of you having an intimate
feeling
situation.
You can trust and completely let go.
Which she finally did.
Yeah.
Like in the same night that she stiffened up under his touch, she was then able to like spread eagle for him and was able to do everything that she, you know, wanted to do. But then, yeah, she was ready to go. And she's like, let's go. And she apparently has a ton of energy after she orgasms.
Every time you would be like, how do you have so much energy after sex? She's like, I don't know. Yeah. I just do.
Although it's really funny because, okay, before they started having sex, I want your thoughts on this.
Yes.
There was a scene where she changes the time on their tutoring session. And he's like at a party or something. And it's really loud. And she's like, I need to change it from 9 to 7 or 7 to 9 or whatever. I can't remember which order it was. And so he's like, yeah, okay, whatever you say, 7 o'clock, right? 7 o'clock. Cool.
Yeah.
And, I guess because of where he was, maybe he was under the influence. I don't know, but he didn't remember or didn't totally understand that she was changing the time of their tutor session. So she walks in on him with a puck bunny.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Now.
And she's all upset about it. And she's like, what are you doing? You know, because he's literally in the throes of passion with somebody. She's like writing him.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
And Hannah walks in and she's like, oh, my God. And she like starts to leave.
What did I walk into?
Right. And so, OK, in your opinion, is there a right or wrong in this situation? Do you feel like, what are your takes on this?
Yeah. So in my opinion, they hadn't set any sort of exclusivity out yet.
Well, they weren't even like having sex with, they were just tutoring at that point.
And so I think that she probably speaking, you know, from the female perspective is thinking, well, you should have just known that that would have meant that I would be coming over and you shouldn't be in the throes with some other. With him, it's just a guy, like the guy perspective is probably more like, oh, okay, yeah, do whatever. Like, you know, change the time. Didn't really take it seriously. So I don't know. It's kind of hard to say like 100%, but because they hadn't laid any sort of hard and fast.
Yeah. I mean, they were just whatever.
Word,
I don't know what their right relationship
tutor
is.
And student.
Student. There you go. Perfect.
Sure.
Not tootie. You don't like tootie?
No, tootie. Let's just puck that right up.
And that one is like definitely a fail. What do they call that? when it goes past the goal, it doesn't
flop.
Score. A flop. No, but they call it something in hockey.
Well,
I should
I'm
know
calling
this.
Calling this a flop.
It is a flop. Okay.
So we're moving past
Thank
that
you
flop.
For ending my.
You're welcome. That's
stopping
what I'm here
the
for.
Bleeding.
Because there wasn't any sort of ground rules that were laid, I don't think he was in the wrong, honestly.
Yeah.
But I also don't think that she overreacted. I think she reacted appropriately. If he was already like kind of doing these things with Hannah, I feel like he maybe should have scaled back on the puck bunny a little bit.
No, but he wasn't. Like they hadn't done anything except for tutoring at that point when she walked in on him. But she had changed the time. And so my thought was, she's the one who changed the time at the last minute. It was the day before.
Yeah.
And she called him to change the time. Yeah. And it was for her to go and do something with her friends. So it wasn't like, it wasn't a pre-planned situation. It was just, yeah. we can change the time. Sure. Right. But she was having to yell that at him when he was in a public venue,
right,
and then tried to have him remember the situation.
Yeah.
And he immediately was like, I'll get rid of her. Like, whatever. But
oh, yeah, he didn't,
you know,
think
they
twice.
weren't in a relationship. They hadn't even kissed anything like that yet.
Yeah.
Although I want to get to their first kiss.
Yes.
Because their first kiss was kind of hilarious.
Yep.
But I was just curious if you thought like he was in the wrong for having that girl over. She was in the wrong for making changes to the plan at the very last minute. They both were in the wrong.
I don't really think either one of them was in the wrong. I think it was just kind of one of those
situations
where timing just wasn't the best. Just kind of everything kind of lined up to be bad timing. But you know, that is a good point that you brought up. So their first kiss.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Tell me more. Like, does he have a car?
Uh-huh. Tell me more.
No. So, okay. So she has expressed to him.
It's that damn bug again. Where is it coming from? Okay. How did you do
Go
that?
Me. I'm super magic. Magic Tony.
Super magic fantastic.
That was nasty too. Is
that was. You just
whatever.
Like smashed that
Because I'm
table.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah,
that's
you
why.
Are.
So, first kiss was hilarious because she starts making out with Garrett and she's thinking she's going to be really bad at it, right?
Yes.
And one of his bros walks in. One of his teammates walks in, slash housemates.
Good old hockey house.
They all room together, all these hockey guys. Always. There's like four of them, I think, that live in the house.
Yeah, at least.
And so Dean, right? I think it's Dean, walks in, sees them making out. And he's like, whoa, sorry. didn't mean to walk in. Right. Like, didn't know you guys were dating. Thought you were just studying together.
Right.
So Hannah tries to play it off like it's this... oh, yeah, nothing's going on. He's just, you know, I have this fear that I'm not a good kisser. And
yes.
So Garrett was letting me practice. And he's like, he calls her on it, right? And Dean's
yep.
like, oh, well, if it's just for practice, then you won't mind kissing me.
Yep.
And so she's like, well, shit, now I have to like.
Now I have to bone up and actually
I literally,
do this.
Yeah. So she's like, okay. So she starts making out with Dean in front of Garrett, like
Garrett.
Right after their
they
first
were
kiss.
Making out. Yeah. And
hardcore.
That kind of like. Opened up something in Garrett when they both of them honestly but especially Garrett, and he felt like that first like twinge of like, what the fuck is he
right.
doing kissing her, you know?
Yeah, like this is my girl, even
yes.
though they hadn't
they
discussed that
they were not in a relationship.
Like literally you were just asked I just asked you to help me make out like some make out
just
my,
make sure
my make out skills
do this okay
yeah. So I was laughing about that the entire time because I was like, man, like she, not only how Garrett felt, but also that she was not backing down from it. She's
yep,
like,
she's
okay,
like, I'm going to do this.
I have already said that this is what I'm doing. And therefore I guess I have to kiss him. So
now I'm kissing you. But she did like from Hannah's perspective, she described both of the kisses and how very different they were. Like when she was kissing Garrett, it was like, everything and it ignited all of these things inside her, and then she was like, yeah, well, when I was kissing Dean it wasn't anything like that, you know?
Yep, agreed.
So you have a lot of other notes over there.
I can't like, even read my handwriting because I'm looking at this exact situation.
The
first makeout session when G moves his kisses down her, but she pulls him back into a kiss and he chuckles. Is this what you
and then you can't read it
want and have.
So wait, back up. You said when he kisses down her,
he
and she pulled him back up.
He kisses down her, but she pulls him back into a kiss, and he chuckles. Is this what you want? And them.
They.
That I can't read my writing.
Thy.
His tongue back into her mouth. What does that say?
So do you think that when she did that
and then some and then and something his tongue back into her mouth.
Like, do you want me to see if I can read it?
It's this, go for it. Yeah, you can read doctor handwriting, so maybe you can read my, do you see where we're at? Did I point it out well enough? It's the second bullet point.
Their first makeout session. Then after that, moves his back into a kiss and he chuckles. Is this what you want? And then it's his tongue back in her mouth. She cracked me up when she kissed Dean to
infringe. I don't know what that word that I tried to put.
Wow. I work with doctors on a daily basis. So honestly, bad. That's
really my handwriting bad. Is really bad. Because I get excited about something and I just chicken scratch it. I'm like, I'll read it later. It's fine. It's no, so I didn't.
I'll decipher it later. And
yeah, and then she cracked me up when she kissed Dean in front of G. So it was literally their first makeout session, but I wrote something illegible and I don't even know what it is.
Something about kissing down her and then she pulls
it
back up.
It's his, and then sits his tongue back in her mouth. I don't know. You know what? We're moving on. That's just that. How about that?
Any other like favorite parts or moments? Emotions, thoughts that you enjoyed.
Okay, so I'm not gonna say it's favorite, but I think it's relevant to the story. Mm-hmm. Because two different situations, right? One where she tells Garrett that him allowing his father to skate by with his fame and his notoriety without ever being called out on the fact that he's abusive behind doors. Mm-hmm. How allowing that to happen is how men continually get by with the way that they treat their families behind closed doors. Not just men. I mean, there are abusive women. I totally understand. But how that continues to perpetuate itself is that, oh, well, this person can't be touched because they're famous. Right. And regardless of how famous you are, somebody's still going to like you because you were famous, even if you have this scandal, right? Yep. So I thought that was really relevant and true. And then the entire situation about the courtroom where,
yeah,
so she was date raped and this guy got by with it and he got his friends to lie under oath and her parents lost all of their money by trying to help her and come to her aid. Yep. I mean, that is a rape victim's, that's exactly how they think it's going to play out. Mm-hmm. It's going to be my fault. What's even the point? Why bring this up?
Yep.
Her family's name got slandered, right? Because everybody's like, oh, your daughter's making this stuff up. And the entire town is like nobody supporting this asshole, also named Aaron.
Yeah.
Wasn't Aaron in Icebreaker that we hated? Aaron. Different guy, but we also hated him. So the guy that assaulted Hannah, his name was Aaron. And just the fact that he was like getting by with it, and he did, he got by with it. But Hannah was really, after she went to therapy, after she got away from the town, you know, she made a comment that like living her life in joy is what was going to make up for all of like the shitty experiences in her life. And like, I love that so much. Getting away from letting that be your story as you go forward, but making the choice that that's not going to be your story, I think is huge, right? Living well and being happy is how we get over the shit in our past.
Yep.
Is the direct quote from L. Kennedy.
Yeah.
Living well and being happy is how we get over the shit of our past.
Yep.
Because it's a choice. It's a choice to be happy. It's a choice to live well. And no, life's not just going to give you like all the good stuff. Like you have to see it.
Yep.
But it's a conscious decision.
Mm-hmm. A daily conscious decision for sure.
And totally.
I completely agree with that. And it's just sad that, like you said, the sexual assault survivors, cause I know we're trying to get away from the term of victim because they're not a victim.
Right.
They're a survivor. And you're always going to have that title. But like you said, that's the initial gut reaction is like, what's even the point? Why bother? It's going to take so much more work and effort, energy, money.
Yep.
Our names are going to be slandered. Like, what is the point?
Well, and only until all the Me Too movement started happening would people actually listen.
Yeah. And that wasn't even that that long ago. It was,
what, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I would hear in my life, oh, that girl's wearing a short dress. She's just asking for it. That's bullshit.
Yes.
Like, 100%. We need to get away from saying stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, she was wearing something revealing. She was asking for it. No.
No.
At no point was somebody asking somebody to do the most heinous acts of crime against her because of her wardrobe choices. I mean, I think there are women who are like, do something naughty to me, but that's a different situation. That's a consentful situation. Yeah. That's not a, I wore something and therefore you have rights to my body.
Exactly.
You have zero rights.
And I think that in all of the recent contemporary romance spicy books that we have read, consent is a huge thing in these books. And I'm so glad it over and that over they again. Continually bring that up. And it's not just like a one-time thing. Like, it's only mentioned once. Because I can specifically remember multiple times in Icebreaker when he was like, is this okay? Yeah. Or do you still want to?
And Garrett was like that too. Yeah. He was like, am I hurting you? Like, is this not what you want? And letting her have a say in every single thing. And it wasn't like, it wasn't in a weak way. It's not like, oh, I'm kissing you. Is it okay if I kiss you? Oh, right. I want to suck your tits. Can I suck your, like, it's not like that. It's like, I'm in the throes of passion with you. Let's, you know, we're doing something, and yet you're still pausing to make sure that I'm okay all the way throughout without it being stiff and rigid.
And it's weird. Yeah. Right. It's just like naturally incorporated throughout the whole action of it. Yeah. And, I think that that's hugely important because, you know, not all sexual assault is just like gruesome and violent and comes out of nowhere. Right. No, it can also happen between married couples, between faithfully committed couples that have been dating for 5 years. And if she's saying no or like is tensing up, that should be the first immediate cue. Right. Like, whoa, let's stop.
Exactly.
Do you even want this? And I think those types of,
it shouldn't be, I'm going to continue to get mine no matter what you say.
Yeah. Is severely overlooked. Like when you think of, you know, rape or sexual assault, you just, you know, think of the most heinous things, which of course that still happens.
Yeah.
But that's why consent just across the board is hugely important when we're talking about any type of sex.
I totally agree.
It doesn't have to be just, you know, regular missionary, any type of sex.
I mean, even regular missionary could be rape, y'all. Like, let's just say all of it.
All of it.
But, I mean, that's kind of a drag. I know that you're kind of asking me about some of the funner stuff.
We're going to talk about this, and I think it's important to touch on, though, because while this is primarily a lighthearted, funny podcast.
Yeah.
I think it's still important.
And the fact that like Elle was able to, I'm sorry, Miss Kennedy. I don't know if I can call her Elle. We're not besties yet.
Do you want to come on our podcast?
Elle Kennedy, if you want to come to our podcast, please just let me know.
Just let us know.
This does actually bring up a question that I want to ask though, because I think we talked about this in our last episode. Shoot, I can't remember if it was our last episode, but this whole idea of fake dating, it is a huge rom-com trope.
It's
huge.
It might be one of the most popular tropes.
I literally, like, I can't tell you the number of fake dating books that I read.
So many.
And I'm like,
does it ever happen?
Does it really happen? Does it really happen in real life?
It actually does.
I just want to know. Nobody, you know, we post that question out there for our listeners and nobody ever told us. So either it doesn't really happen. But also we have book club this weekend and I'm going to ask them.
Great idea.
Because the book we just read for book club is also fake dating.
So hypothesis.
I'm just curious.
Both loved.
Loved that
Fantastic
book. Not
book.
Super smutty. Maybe like a 1 on the smutty scale, but
Definitely not like
still delicious.
But we may mention it in the future.
Allie Hazelwood.
I love her writing. I loved that book. But yeah, that's a good point. I think that it may just be one of the more popular tropes that authors just automatically gravitate towards.
It is.
But again, it would be a great opportunity to ask an author.
I just want to know at least one person who has actually fake dated in their real life. Like, even if it didn't come to love and marriage and kids and whatever, like,
it's
if
hard
you,
enough to
I
just
want to know.
Actually date.
Thank
let
you.
Alone fake date like, in today's society.
I mean, I've taken, like, friends to work parties, stuff like that, so that I didn't have to attend alone. But I was never fake dating. No, there was nothing ever behind that. It was just friends going on to like an event together, so that neither of us had to go alone.
Like, there's a big difference between fake dating and be my plus one.
Yeah, and let's just like look. If you're getting married and you've got single people coming, the least you can do is give them a plus one. I mean, I know that's an extra plate.
Yes,
all of that, but.
Who wants to go to a wedding?
It's hard for your single friends to be at a event like that, so surrounded by love, and not have somebody there.
Be by themselves. Yes.
Totally. Now, granted, sometimes people don't want that plus one because their goal is to hook up with somebody else who's single there.
Hey,
totally understandable.
Also, just saying, it's a thoughtful thing. And that, let's bring up a good point. I'm going to be going to a wedding in the fall, and.
In the fall, huh?
Yeah. In the fall.
We need to get you a fake dating guy for that.
I know. Maybe we need to start scoping out now.
I mean, we should start laying the groundwork. According to all these books that we read, start laying the groundwork for that now. Yeah. So if you are a guy who wants to fake date one of us,
send us a DM.
Just slide into our DMs.
Or email us at chipletandlibations@gmail.com.
Amen right there.
We're closing in on close to our time here, but I think maybe we should share a couple more of our favorite quotes.
Yeah, kind of I have one. I have a good one for you.
Perfect.
I've been drinking, so if I stumble over my words as I read, just forgive me. It's all this alcohol that we're supposed to be drinking during our podcast.
That's right.
Okay, so in the situation where she's like desperate to touch him and see him and everything, and he pulls his erection out of his jeans, she goes, "Are you taking human growth hormones or something?" I snatch my hands back, fighting another rush of nervousness. There is no way that huge man monster is fitting inside of me. Garrett's head abruptly drops in the crook of his arm and shudder rats through his body. At first, I think he's pissed off or maybe he's crying. Then I realize he's laughing. He's in hysterics. And then finally he goes, "Man monster?" And she goes, "Stop laughing at me. I'm serious." I insist. I might have big boobs and a grabbable ass, but have you seen my hips? Tiny and narrow, which stands to reason that my lady canal.
Lady canal, that's right.
A howl rips out of his mouth. Lady canal? And she goes, "It's too narrow. You're going to rip me in half." He raises his head and there are honest to God tears in his eyes. I think that's the nicest thing a girl has ever said to me. He chokes out. I just, again, like the humor and the
man
comedy.
Man monster and lady canal.
Man monster lady canal.
Hashtag.
That
we
is.
We need
a hashtag, those. Are we allowed to? I feel like Elle probably already has this hashtag. I mean, we would just be jumping on the bandwagon.
But that was funny. That's another part that made me laugh.
Oh, so, out like, loud. And I love books that literally make me laugh out loud.
Yes.
I think it's. Clever and it's fun and it's exciting to read something that makes you laugh like that and feel like that.
Sure. I love I mean, clearly we both love humor. It's like one of our, you know, go-to traits that we like to.
I mean, we hope we bring you guys humor.
We hope so.
And not just ourselves. But if it's just ourselves, then so be it. We're having fun.
Like, we I love that one. And then one of my favorites that I have here.
Man monster.
When we're arguing or shooting wisecracks back and forth, it's like my whole body is wired with electricity. And when we're naked, it's like an entire 4th of July fireworks display going off inside me.
Yes.
So I've always liked that when they have like, you have that strong connection, just like bantering back and forth. Yeah. And then also obviously in the bedroom and having sex and everything. But I think it's just as important to have that when you're fully clothed and when you're going back and forth,
because
each other and
in like real life in a relationship, sex is a small part of a full relationship. It is about the day to day. And so, you know, anybody who's looking for this, hey, if you're looking for a way to spice up your bedroom, like these books are great for giving you all that information. They make you feel something. They give you hope. They give you laughter. They give you joy, all of that fun stuff. Like rom-coms are just amazing books. But also it kind of gives you something to look forward to in your relationships other than the sex, because it is banter and to the time that they spend together and the way that they understand each other and the way that they communicate. It's so much more.
Yeah, for sure. And that's just what I liked about this book in general. And like that quote just kind of stuck out to me. So
agreed.
Just a couple of our favorites. You'll find the rest at our Instagram.
Yeah. And we really hope that y'all are reading along with us so that we're not just sitting here and spoiling all the great details about a book. Like just kind of imagine that you're having a conversation with your girlfriends that, you know,
that's our goal for this podcast. And we really hope that y'all have been enjoying this journey with us.
And speak back to us, y'all. Like, we just want to know, are you reading the books? Are you following us on social media? Are you tagging or sharing our posts? You know, like, talk to us, let us know. You can also reach out to us at chicklitandlibations@gmail.com. Yep. If you would just prefer to send us a soundbite or, you know, a more personal message. But if not, there's Instagram as well. Yeah. So
our long-term goal is to get to the point where we may be able to play a couple audio messages from people that are sent in. If and when that happens,
that'd be fun.
But for now, we're just...
And we have other goals for this podcast. Like, we maybe there's somebody that lives nearby us that we mentioned last time in the podcast who happens to be like a smut book.
Romance book.
model, like cover model. So we're thinking, you know, how fun would it be to get somebody like that on here and do a Q&A with, or interview authors, or even just interview our friends. We've actually, we'd really like to have our friends come on who read this stuff with us, just to get like other people's perspective other than just us. Yeah. But so stay tuned. Like, it's not just us reviewing books, although that is the primary purpose of this podcast.
That's our jumping off point, but we want to just cultivate an awesome community here at Chicklit and Libations. And whatever other ideas that you might have, please just, you know, shoot us a message. Whatever platform you want to shoot us a message on.
We're on all of them.
We're on all of them.
Feels like it.
So with that, thank you so much for joining us on the Chicklit and Libations podcast with your hosts, Amanda.
And Tony.
Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Google Play, or Anchor. Catch our next episode where we discuss Neon Gods by Katie Robert. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love for you to subscribe, share, rate, and leave a review. Don't forget to connect with us on Instagram, like we said. Our handle is at Chicklit and Libations. You'll find our drink recipes, show notes, upcoming books, and so much more. We are Lit Chicks reviewing Chicklit.
Stay spicy.